You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
But life cannot be haphazard. I get up in the morning, let's just go through the routine, get my cup of coffee, go to work, come home, eat, watch something, end of day, next day. No, there needs to be a purpose for living. God calls it the will of God. The will of God is a plan for your life. It's a plan for my life. It's a purpose. And you say, well, I don't know why I was created. Well, then just do what you do know. God says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. So what you've done today, you perform the will of God. There's so many visitors here today. We're grateful you every week. God's bringing you in. You're looking for something. But you fulfill the will of God in your life today. We just had the opportunity to tithe and give. And did you fulfill the will of God in your life? God has a will. We heard a song, If I Can Help Somebody. Are we going to do that this week? The song was sung so we could leave here and do that along the pathway of life, helping people on the journey of life. And here Paul begins to deal with this church. He said, because you have to put an order to your life. This church is all disorderly. Though Paul reminded him, our church verse here, Colossians 1:18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. God wanted everything in that church to be preeminent, but they were doing their own thing. They were worshiping the god Zeus, the Aphrodite. They worshiped that goddess. They worshiped the goddess Cynthia. They worshiped the goddess Nike. They had all these various gods they'd worship. And if we're not careful, we get tied into that same thing. We can worship money. We can worship play and party. What are we doing today? What are we doing tonight? How about responsibility? How about life? How about your marriage? How about your children? How about your parents? How about your home? And so he says, I want you to, verse number 15, let the peace of God rule your heart. There's two types of peace in the Bible. We know this. There's the peace with God and the peace of God. Would you keep your hand right here, please? Would you back up with me to Ephesians chapter 2? Just two books. Ephesians chapter 2. And if we could hear the rustling of the page, that would be great. Let me know that you're looking there. Chapter 2, verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see, we're away from God. In fact, look what he says, what we are in verse number 19. You are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. He calls us in the Bible, when we're without Jesus Christ, we've not been born again, we're the enemy of Christ, we're a stranger, we're a foreigner, the Bible says. How about verse number 13 then? Christ brings us nigh. All right, here it is. And he hath made him, God hath made him, look right here, please, for just a moment. God, we'll stay right there. God hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, this one that died on the cross, Jesus, he who knew no sin. There was no guile in his mouth, no sin in his life. He was the Son of God. He is without sin. He who knew no sin went to the cross and died for us, that we, the sinner, might be made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. God and sinner reconciled. You probably heard it in the mall this year at Christmas, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, where God and sinners reconciled. You see, I'm over here, I don't have peace with God. I'm born a foreigner, I'm born a stranger, I'm born an enemy, I'm away from God. But in his love, he who was rich in love, he died on the cross for my sin. For wherefore is by one man, Jesus, Adam, sin entered in the world. And death, there's a consequence for sin. Death by sin. So death is passed upon all men for all sin. Someone paid a debt. He did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay, but Jesus died for my sin. Amazing. And he reconciles me to God. Look what he says right here. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes far off, made nigh by the blood. For, verse 14, what is the first five words? Ready? Begin. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He and verse number, 16, that he might reconcile both God in one body, the cross, having slain enmity thereby. And so here we are, we're against God. Turn back with Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and you're doing great today. Let me hear the pages rustling, and I'll get you back to that text. I won't move you much around after this. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, verse 1. Therefore, being justified, you know, Martin Luther of the Lutheran Church in the 1500s, he was a priest. He eventually married a nun when she got saved, but he was reading the book of Romans. And he realized that justification is in the book of Romans. Justification does not mean just like you've never sinned. No, it means you have been declared righteous, though a sinner. And Martin Luther read the book of Romans and said, I'm a priest. I'm forgiving people's sins. They confess unto me, but a priest standing daily in the temple can never take away sin. I can't take anyone's sin away because Jesus Christ died on the cross. I cannot go through Mary because there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Martin Luther got saved, and the nun got saved. In time, they got married. They established the Lutheran Church, and he nailed his 95 door thesis at the door of the church at Wittenberg about justification, that Jesus Christ is the answer, not a church, not a denomination, not confirmation, not sprinkling, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Here he says, therefore being justified, declared righteous by faith, we have, watch this here, we have what? Peace with whom? With God. We have peace with God. Let's read verse 8 together. Ready? Begin. But God commended his love toward us. Let's read verse number 9 and verse number 10. Ready? Begin. Much more then. Let's go back to the book of Colossians, please. So there must be a moment in your life where you learn, and I have learned, to have peace with God. The war is over. The battle is over. I'm no longer a stranger and an enemy. And woe, that night that God reached down his hand and saved me so many, many years ago, about 15 minutes from here. And I'll never forget that night. I won't go through it because you heard it 1,000 times plus. But when God saved me, I tell you what, I felt like a load had been lifted off of my heart. Just a load had been removed. Well, I was in condemnation. I was on my way to hell, and I realized that my eyes were open. I knew my condition. I knew that I could not save myself, but Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Oh, I'm justified. I'm declared righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have peace with God. Here's the problem with Jack Treber's life. Though I have peace with God, and that's been a signed transaction for all these years, I've not had peace always of God. You see, he said to this church, yes, you've been saved, but now let the peace of God. The peace of God. Now that's different. Peace is an inner tranquility. I don't always have inner tranquility. Through the night, I did not have inner tranquility. Because I laid in bed there and just got thinking of prayer requests. Things that huge trouble me. Many of your names were on that moment I finally got up through the night, spent the rest of the night up. And don't pour me and all that business. I had no peace. And part of it was I was burdened for the people that are going to sit in this auditorium. And part of it was burdened for some of the people that I knew were coming in here with heartaches and trials. Just threw up a little A. What was that thing I just kicked? A bead from the wedding yesterday. And so we owe you a bead. I just threw it. I got the leaf up. My wife says that's my kids brought to my attention that I straighten psalm books while I preach. This piece of paper here is driving me crazy. And you know what my wife says I have, and I have it. I guess ADHYZ, whatever I have it. But everything's in order right now. Would you be willing to stay awake? Did you get the bead? You got the bead. All right, here, we owe you one bead right here. Here it is right here. It's got a little hole. I'm going to throw it back there. Now, you deal with it. All this stuff around here. I am so ashamed of myself, how that I really believe I was walking with God and praying. But then, Brother Rick, I think I began to worry. Do you want me to get different from here, fellas? So, like, that's not you firing at me, is it? All right, let's just take this one off, okay, fellas? All right. Don't blame them. I'm glad I have this spot. I'm glad I don't have that spot right there. God says, Jack, I want the peace of God, the tranquility, inner tranquility. I walk around a lot, don't I? This is going to be tough being stuck at this pulpit here. God wants an inner tranquility. And the next word is, what is the next word? To rule. Amen. To rule my heart. I don't have time, but I was going to bring an umpire up here today. And I was going to be down here and pitch, and I was going to do one of the ladies' calls, or a mother in the stands, or some dad that does not know anything about sports. It's an amazing thing how we all know more than the referee or the umpire. And the word rule is to umpire our life. The umpire calls balls and strikes. I was going to throw a strike, but bounce it in front of the plate and then go over the plate, strike. But the umpire was going to call it a ball. I was going to have a problem with the umpire today because I know what's right. I know the best way to call balls and strikes. And God says, I want to rule. I want to call your walk in your life, the balls and the strikes. I want to call Amen. Your life and control your life. Let the peace of God. I don't want money to rule your life, Amen. Govern Amen. Your life. I don't want fear to govern your life. I don't want anxiety to govern. I don't want that you got to get up with uppers. You got to go to bed with downers. I don't want that. I want to let the peace of God far away in the depths of my spirit tonight. Peace, peace. He gave us a beloved. He can give you sleep. He can give you peace too. The kids sometimes in high school will sing, I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace. Do you have peace today? Is there that inner calm? Or is everything an issue? Is it all drama? Is it up and down? Love the Lord, I'm down. I'm excited. I love my family. I'm ticked off with my family. Let the peace of God rule your hearts. To which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. And so for my life, purposeful living is let the peace of God, the peace of God, find the peace of God. And secondly, verse number 16, let the word of God. So not only do we have the peace of God, and that's a result of peace with God. But look what he says. I can have the word of God, the word of Christ dwelling. What's to dwell? It means to feel right at home, to reside. God wants this book to feel right at home. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, first of all, if you're new a Christian, maybe it would be difficult, the book of Leviticus or some of these books. But you know what I find? You just start reading it. You're smart. You people all figured out how to use a computer. You're very smart. You know how to do banking online. You're very weird. You're very smart. How do you do that? And then I'll hear somebody say, do you need a receipt? I'm thinking, yes, you need. How are you gonna log it in your checkbook? They said, no, I don't need a receipt. I love you folks, but you're strange. I was dealing with somebody on the phone. They said, well, how can I'll email this to you. I said, oh, I don't know how to do that. What? They say, I don't. Now they do it for me, and they run them off, and I get stacks of them from all these different staff members, and I handwrite them back. I don't know how you people do all this stuff. And I'm not going to become like you either, because I want to be a good Christian. Has nothing to do with it. I'm just not smart enough like you. God not only wants the peace of God to rule my heart, he wants the word of God to dwell in me. Here's what happens, folks. You just keep reading. And when trials come, now here, listen carefully. When trials come, God always gives you scripture. When trials come, I don't go looking. Say, I need a verse here. What verse can I choose here? Oh, no, something happened. I've told you years ago, I was coming home probably 3 o'clock in the morning. And I got down here, I was driving from Los Angeles and preached, maybe it was 3:30. And I always wanted to be here when our kids woke up on Wednesday morning. So I preached there Monday night, Tuesday night, and then drove down and then driving back through the night. And I got to what is now the Exchange 280, 680, 101. But it stayed built for years. It wasn't completed. It was just up there, but you could not come, nothing connected at all. And I got there, I was very tired, and I saw four billboards, and they're not there now, but one was for smoking, and one was for drinking, and one was for the lottery just coming in, and one was for rock music. And now it's 3:30 in the morning, I'm talking to myself, and I said, why would anybody want that life? Smoking, drinking, working from job, getting your money, and then wasting it, rock music. Why would anybody want that life? And I answered it. I answered it wrong. I said, it's an easy life. And I said, oh, no. God's word, Matthew, God brought me the scripture immediately. My yoke is easy. Amen. And my burden is light. Amen. For the way of the transgressor is hard. Very difficult. And I want you to know that when we see that God's ways, he said, well, it's so hard to be a Christian. Oh, no, God said it's easy. In comparison to what this world has, it's easy. I don't listen to the news. I don't watch the news, but it does pop up on my phone. And I see headlines all the time. This movie star committed suicide. And this rock and roll person committed suicide. And this person committed suicide. And why? They have everything. They have notoriety. They have money. They have applause. But they don't have Jesus Christ. And I think about how that the 170,000 people that died in our streets last year with fentanyl. I think of how so many of those are young. They had nothing to live for. They trying to find some peace. Great peace have they who love thy law. And so he said, you want a purposeful life? Well, the peace of God, the word of God. And let me try to close it down here. The songs of God. And I won't go on this very much because I've been talking about on Wednesday nights, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There's so much in this text that I've passed over, not only the Word of God and the peace of God and the songs of God, but the grace of God is in there and the thanks to God, verse number 17 again. He's trying to tell this church, would you stop toying around with all these other things that bring no contentment? They bring no peace. They bring no contentment. They bring nothing that's based upon the Word of God. What a great book for people to live by. And today I'm going to ask you to consider, where are you going? What's your purpose? I mean, what's your priority? Well, I'm going to make a lot of money. For what? What's the reason for a lot of money? So I can pay a lot of taxes. And our governor and the crowd just lost $24 billion through their homeless program, and they cannot account, they don't know where it went. That's a smart fella. Maybe one day he'll be our president. You know, today, live on purpose. I have more to say, but I think I'll stop right there. Where's your life headed? Let's bow for prayer. Father, what a powerful book this book of Colossians has been in my own life. Here's a man warning this church constantly. They went into yoga. They separated mind and spirit. But your word says it is spirit, it's mind, soul, and body. Thank you for the fact that we're trichotomists. And we saw that this church went into dichotomy. How foolish. We're always trying to exempt you. But God, without you, we can do nothing. I pray your blessing upon these dear people. Or they got up this morning and ready and came to the house of God. Most could not find parking here. Walked in, rode shuttle buses in to get into the house of God. Lord, reward them and bless them for that effort. I pray that all of us would leave here today with a desire to think of what the choir sang for us, the value of one, an old victory in Jesus. May we live on the winning side, the victory side. I thank you for this special music, if I could help somebody as I journey on my life. How thankful we are for that soul. He's more wonderful. We can't explain how wonderful, what a wonderful, mighty God we serve. Keep us from this church in Colossae, how they erred so badly. They had been given so much, and they rejected what you gave them. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Do you have peace with God? Do you have the peace with God? Are you saved? If you're not saved, there's appointed a place called hell. It's not because bad people are just there. It's because people have rejected Christ. You could be dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's, but if you're not born again, you're not ready to live. You're certainly not ready to die. I wonder if you're saved. Do you have the peace with God?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.